I appreciate their heart and their passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share just real quick, you've heard enough gospel tonight to save a world. I would add that, can you guys do one at the very end? Would you mind doing O Holy Night again? Mind doing that? All right, that'd be awesome. Man, I love that song. That was one of the best renditions I've ever heard of that, truthfully. Love the snow in your hair. It's really nice. And no, your teeth do not look like chiclets. I don't know who said that, but this is a wonderful time of year for our church family. As you can see, our stage is decorated, and we really, really encourage you to come out, and I really think you'll be encouraged, you'll be blessed, and during these two presentations of this program that they've worked so hard on, but truly is, and the reason it's a great time of year is I've often said that anytime you have an opportunity to celebrate the birth of Christ, it's a great time. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, did something for you that you and I so desperately needed. We cannot save ourselves. I was not too long ago, was preaching a memorial, and I shared with the folks, I said, Jesus didn't come to establish religion. Jesus came to bridge the gap between God and man. And when you come to the New Testament, there's a verse of Scripture that is one of my favorite verses that really encompasses the Christmas story. It says, it's in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons." The Lord Jesus Christ, in that one verse, really sums up for us what Christmas is all about. We live in a world that often says that, Christmas, we're not in the commercialization, and Christmas isn't about gifts. Well, as I thought about that, and I really pondered that thought and pondered that premise, I think you can make an argument to really substantiate the fact that Christmas indeed is all about the gift. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, God, did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. God is a, and I know you know this, but God is a gift giver. I mean, the greatest, tremendous song, that last song really is a phenomenal song. The beginning of the story is a wonderful message. The virgin birth of Christ was absolutely of necessity. God had to be virgin born. Don't ever let anyone tell you that Jesus wasn't virgin born. On the authority of the Bible, God was virgin born. And without the virgin, you say, preacher, what's the significance? Why is the virgin born so, why is the virgin birth so important? Let me tell you why. On the authority of God's word, without the virgin birth, Jesus Christ would not have been qualified to be your Savior, right? Amen? And because of that, we see in this portion that the Bible tells us that God had a plan in the fullness of time. Well, what do you do about Mary as a Baptist? Well, Mary was a wonderful person in Scripture. She was an absolutely wonderful, virtuous, godly young lady that God used as a vehicle to bring the Son of God into the world. But as you look at another portion of Scripture, we also know that Mary needed a Savior just like you and I need a Savior. Mary understood when she was approached for the task at hand to be the vehicle that God would bring the baby Jesus into the world. Mary even stated, be it unto me according to thy word. She accepted the task. She accepted, she rejoiced in the Lord, her Savior. So we know that the significance of God's plan, the fullness of time, God had it all planned out. I said to our church Sunday, God had a plan. He had a plan to bridge man back to God. Years ago, I remember hearing someone, actually it was at my in-laws, and some folks, religious folks, had come to our door, to the door, and they were telling us their story and how bad the world was and the end times were coming and all that. And I remember saying to the lady, two ladies there, I said to the lady, she said, you can't tell me, I promise it's the gospel truth, she said, you can't tell me that God knew that man was going to sin. I said, ma'am, yes, God did know. And I said, God had a plan because of that. God knew man was going to sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, we understand it plunged humanity as we know it to a devil's hell. But the good news is God intervened. And we see that here in this passage of Galatians. It says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. God is a gift-giving God. So Christmas, indeed, it is all about the gift. Jesus, 2,000 years ago. I appreciate these boys and how they said that Jesus did not stay a baby in Bethlehem's manger. You know, one of the misconceptions of our culture and our world is that they think that the Christmas story is really all there is when it comes to Jesus. No, friend, that's just the beginning. Jesus went on to live a sinless and perfect and righteous life. He did not sin one time. Now think about that for a moment. You know, my wife and I are parents. We have three kids, and our youngest is 16, soon to be 18, 21 is our kids. In raising kids, think about what it means to live a sinless life. I mean, I don't know that our kids got out of the toddler stage without sinning, right? So that means Jesus Christ went through the toddler stage and didn't sin. Now, I know you grandparents here today, you don't think your grandbabies are sinners, right? Your kids were, but not your grandbabies. And you got a picture to prove that. But Jesus made it through the toddler stage. He didn't sin. But let's fast forward a little bit. And I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but we're parents. He made it through the teenage years. Can I get a witness in the building? He didn't sin. Made it through his college age years, if you will. He didn't sin. Made it into 33 years. He didn't sin. You say, preacher, why was that important? Because, ladies and gentlemen, on the authority of the Bible, he had to be a sinless sacrifice. That's why John the Baptist, when he was baptizing on the River Jordan there that day, when Jesus came to his baptism, remember what John said? And every Jew that were standing on that crowd of that, or standing on that bank of that Jordan, they knew this statement, and they would have recognized and understood what John meant when he made this statement when he saw Jesus coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." See, John had just dealt a death blow to Jesus. But you see, God the Father had already dealt a death blow when he sent him into this world to die. He was born to die. We celebrate his virgin birth. We celebrate his virtuous life, his sinless life. He was virgin born, friend. The Christmas story, indeed, is all about the gift. God giving us something that we so desperately needed. The promise in this verse, the tremendous truth that God sent his son. And then here's the power of these thoughts in this verses. The Bible makes a statement in verse 5, and I hope you hear this. Why did God give us Jesus? Why did the Father send his son to die 2,000 years ago? I love Christmas music. My wife loves it more than I do. My wife, as soon as 100 days before Christmas starts and they start playing on the radio, she'll start playing it in our vehicles. And she'll say, "What's wrong? You don't like Christmas music?" I said, "Yeah, around Christmas time, right? Not in June, but I love Christmas music." And the fact that Jesus Christ, and I hope you hear me on this, this Christmas could be your greatest Christmas ever. Because you that are here tonight and maybe watching by internet or watching by Facebook Live, you have an opportunity to accept the gift that God gave. You see, friend, you will not get out of this earth. You will not leave this earth alive. Death comes to all. And the Bible says that Jesus did it. God sent his son to redeem them that were under the law. You say, "What's the big deal about being under the law?" I'll tell you what the big deal is. You're condemned. When we're under the law, that means we're condemned. We've sinned before God, and we need to be forgiven of that. Jesus Christ, he was sent to redeem us. The word redeemed is a word that means to buy back. He would buy us back. Now, how does that happen? It happens when we repent and we believe the gospel, as these fellows have sung tonight, gloriously sung about, that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. That's the message of Christmas. Christmas is indeed all about the gift. The fact that Jesus Christ was sent by the Father 2,000 years ago to do something for you and I that we couldn't do for ourselves. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, I just want to talk to you just for a brief second. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you I'm not going to come to you after service, chase you down. I just want to talk to you. How many would be here tonight and say, "Pastor Tracy, I'll be honest. I know Christ as my Savior. I've accepted the gift of salvation." In my own personal life, I was 16 years old when I accepted the free gift of salvation. And maybe tonight you say, "Pastor, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I have Jesus as my Savior." Would you raise your hand? Would you be so kind? Thank you. Hands all over the building. You can put your hands down. maybe here tonight say, Pastor Tracy, to be quite honest, though, I don't really know that I have Christ as my Savior. I don't know that I have Jesus as my Savior. But I want to have him as my Savior. Maybe tonight that would be your desire. Anybody in the building? No one looking around. Just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. Anybody at all? Just slip your hand up. So I don't have Christ as my Savior, Pastor, but I want to have him before this service ends. Well, sweet friend, you can do that if you simply ask him to forgive you and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege we have to be in your house tonight. We thank you for this glorious music. And Lord, we thank you for the fact that it indeed has uplifted the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Ball Brothers, Lord, and it truly is. It's an understatement, God. But they truly have a ministry. And Lord, we appreciate that about them. That's one thing we love about them. Because God, they're so passionate, Lord, to take the gospel, Lord, in an uncompromising way. They're not ashamed of it. And Father, I pray that you'll raise up many more like them. Thank you, Lord, for this great crowd tonight. We ask you will bless them. And as the fellows come and sing one more song, again, Father, thank you for all the ones that have come. Tremendous crowd, and we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Let's welcome the Ball Brothers back to the stage. They'll sing one more song, and this will be our final for tonight.